Today on Family Talk.
The new presidential administration is just a couple of weeks old, and we can't help but wonder, what might this era mean for Christians, for our nation, for families? Well, Dr. Dobson was there for the inauguration, and he's excited about what the future can hold. Hello, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today, Dr. Dobson and Dr. Tim Clinton continue to share their memories of the presidential inauguration and the excitement that filled the air on that special day. Now, before we get back to the conversation, let me briefly introduce Dr. Clinton to you. He is the founder and president of the nearly 50,000-member American Association of Christian Counselors, AACC. He is also a professor of counseling and pastoral care and the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. He and Dr. Dobson have both been chosen to serve on the president's Evangelical Advisory Board, and they have interesting insights on how this change could impact religious liberty, sanctity of life, and other issues important to us as believers. Let's hear more about that right now here on Family Talk.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm here with Dr. Tim Clinton to recap the highlights of the inaugural events. We're going to turn our attention now to Friday, the 20th of January. That is Inauguration Day. And we want to start with a prayer event that occurred early that morning at St. John's Episcopal Church. Tim, last time we were talking about some of the events that led up to the inauguration and the excitement of it. I said yesterday that I've been to six inaugurations now, and they all have had a certain emotional impact on the people who were there. It just the love for country and love for our nation and what our founding fathers did for us. When Ronald Reagan was inaugurated the first time, there were banners all over the city that said the new beginning, and there was such excitement over that. But let's pick up where we left off last time with what took place the morning of the inauguration. This would not have been reported in the press, primarily because they weren't invited. It was a private service for President-elect Donald J. Trump and his family, and Vice President-elect Mike Pence and his family, and then seven of us who participated in a prayer service and some friends that were there. So it was a private event, and I think one of the highlights of the three-day celebration. You were there. Give us your take on it, Tim.
I remember Julie and I and a few others who were with us, we got into the St. John's Church early, and already there was an air that was kind of enveloping the place, a spiritual air. Yeah. Quiet, moving, very patriotic, something you could tell, something very significant was about to happen. And it truly did. I remember as Christian leaders from literally all over the country came together for this private service, about 200 of us in the room, when it was time for the vice president and his family to come in. And then the president and his family came in. The service began. And Dr. Dobson, I think we're feeling the same thing together here. There was an uplifting tone spiritually as we began to sing, as we began to celebrate who God was in our lives, is in our lives. And then the service took a really special turn, at least for me, Dr. Dobson. Mm-hmm. You had a moment, I want to call it a moment, where God had placed you in a role, so you took the podium and... And I want everyone listening to just imagine this for a moment in your mind's eye. Vice President Pence stands up alone in front of the entire crowd. Dr. Dobson's at the podium, and then Dr. Dobson begins to pray a prayer over the next Vice President of the United States. Dr. Dobson, what was it like for you?
Well, Tim, that was one of the highlights of my life. You can imagine having the opportunity on inaugural morning to pray a prayer for the Vice President of the United States. He was President-elect at that time, but 2 hours later, he was Vice President of the United States. And he, as you indicated, I asked him to stand, and he did, and I was about 7 or 8 feet away on the platform behind the podium, and this is what I said. It's a great honor for me to request a blessing on former Governor Mike Pence, who in a few hours will become Vice President of the United States of America. To commemorate this historic day, I would like to take us back to a passage in the Holy Scriptures found in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, when Solomon, son of David, had been chosen as king over the house of Israel. We read, "That night God appeared to Solomon and said, 'Ask whatever you want me to give to you.' Solomon answered God, 'You have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?' God answered Solomon, 'Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth or riches or honor, nor the death of your enemies, you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, wisdom and knowledge will be given to you.'" As we know, Solomon became one of the wisest men who ever lived. The Scriptures teach us that wisdom is being able to perceive things from God's point of view. No greater blessing can be given to a leader than the ability to grasp eternal truths and put them to use. After all, these biblical concepts come from the Creator himself. Mike Pence has demonstrated that his values are in the right place. I have known him for 25 years and watched as he was given increasing responsibility for government. Humility and integrity have been his way of life. When he introduced himself to the American people last year, he wasn't embarrassed to say simply, "I am a Christian." Let me close this historic moment with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you to lay your hands on Mike Pence and the new President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, as they assume the burdens of national leadership. May they be keenly aware of your presence when the challenges are too heavy to bear. May they lead the nation with righteousness. Protect them from those who would try to cause them harm, and preserve this great country from international intrigue. May you grant them wisdom and knowledge in the measure of Solomon in days of old. When their terms of office are complete and life moves on, may you say those beautiful words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
And the people rejoiced at that moment. Your friend, now Vice President of the United States, Michael Pence, received that from you and his family. It was a moment. It was a very beautiful spiritual moment. And then, after that was completed, the future president, President-elect Donald J. Trump, was to stand to his feet as James Robeson, a good friend of yours, Dr. Dobson, the two of you, who, by the way, God had used in so many ways to pour into Donald Trump's life over the last 6, 9-plus months in a powerful way, as only James Robeson can do. And the entire crowd, again, in a moment, watched as everyone was seated and the future president of the United States stood up alone and was addressed and prayed over by James Robeson. Dr. Dobson, that was a moment.
You know, Tim, we are not able to reproduce the emotion and the power of that prayer because it was not written. It was said spontaneously, but it has been transcribed and appears on the Family Talk site, drjamesdobson.org, and I urge our listeners to find it and read it. It is a powerful prayer. I was blessed to be there to hear it.
You know, Dr. Dobson, I want to add a word just for a moment about the Faith Advisory Board, the Executive Council, who have stood together, accepting a role of responsibility to have influence on matters of faith at a personal and professional level with the administration, the team, going through the election process. And there are a lot of strong men and women on that team who banded together, who prayed in earnest for the opportunity and at the appropriate times communicated their heart, their firm stance on matters of faith at a personal and professional level to the future president and to Vice President Pence, whom, again, is a dear friend of yours.
Tim, I want to join you in applauding the president for bringing around him people of faith and listening to them. There's every reason to believe that this faith advisory committee that you and I both are going to serve on is for real, that the president is going to ask substantive questions about matters of faith, and that apparently we're going to get an opportunity to advise him. Can you say any more about that?
Well, Dr. Dobson, I agree with you. We need to pray earnestly that this president and this administration, certainly with Vice President Pence, that they'll be tender toward issues of religious liberty, that they'll really consider the Johnson Amendment and possibly overturning it, because there's too much debate and quagmire around the issue of separation of church and state and more. We need to get clarity here and move forward. We don't need to be intimidated or shouted down or run over when it comes to people of faith participating in this process and standing up for what they believe and what they want to see in their nation. Even more than that, religious persecution issues really concern us. The nation of Israel and our relationship to this country, to issues such as, again, the current debate on the Supreme Court nomination and more. All these issues are really important to us in our everyday life. They're important to our family and our future families.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why I'm coming alongside of you and learning and wanting to be involved in this process is because I'm concerned about my children, my Megan, my Zach, their children, our children's children and more. I want them to grow up in an America that I had the opportunity to grow up into, on the land of the free and the home of the brave, the country that my dad was so proud to have served all those years in World War II. For and with, and was so glad to get back to this land and kiss the ground when he came back to stateside. And that's the same man who stood, I mean, boldly for his faith as a pastor for nearly 60 years, flew a flag in his yard till the day he died. Dr. Dobson, I think that's what this is all about.
You know, I'm getting excited all over again, Tim. You know, I have had the opportunity to serve four presidents before this, some more than others. I worked with Ronald Reagan for 5 years during his two terms, and I have never seen anything like this take place. Have you? I've never seen a time when the spiritual side of things was given such importance and relevance.
I couldn't agree more, Dr. Dobson. I have never seen such an openness to issues of faith. Look at the Vice President of the United States shows up at the March for Life. Think about that. Kellyanne Conway speaks as a plenary speaker at that event. Boldly, the president tweets, "You have my full support in the March for Life." That's unprecedented.
There's never been a vice president that's come to that March for Life, as far as I know. I've never seen it. what an incredible opportunity to speak not only to the legal issues, but to the value of life itself.
And Dr. Dobson, I want to come back to the spirit out of which you started these 2 days. And it was a tenderness toward those who respectfully disagree on issues and more. We want to honor one another. And by the way, the protesting and all that's going on, we respect that in this country. We have the right. That's what the March for Life was all about. It's a civil protest. The rioting, the craziness that's going on, yeah, that's completely out of sorts. At the inauguration, Dr. Dobson, something that really stunned me was the chaos that erupted. And it was uncivil. It was wrong. That took place. We're in line getting ready to go to the Liberty Ball. I'm watching people, good people, who are minding their own business. They're dressed up in tuxedos, ball gowns, and more. And you've got people protesting who are out of control, shouting profanity, throwing stuff at them, wanting to fight people in line. They're going to a ball. That's ridiculous. That really is. It's not that we don't have the right, and we, by the way, we respect that right to stand for things that we believe in and value. But this craziness that's going on, we need to challenge that. And where's the church? Our prayer is, I remember, Dr. Dobson, being with you years ago. We're in a room of Christian leaders. I don't even know why I was there as a young man. I'm in the room, and I remember you, and there was a moment when tears began to come down your face. Dr. Dobbs, I'll never forget this. And you looked at all of us, and you said, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. And you commanded the room just for a moment, we need to pray. And everybody looked at you solemnly and saw your eyes. And then you said, we need to pray that the church would awaken and take her rightful place. Parachurch organizations, you said, have to stand in the gap, and some of that's getting done, but the true power, our true hope, is in the Church of Jesus Christ, that we would awaken, take our rightful place, and stand for truth together.
Tim, I'm united. Amazed that you remember that. That was a long, long time ago. But, you know, going back to the protests that were taking place, yes, people have the right to speak their piece. They have a right to be heard. But they don't have a right to burn cars and turn them over and break windows and all that took place there in Washington. I should also be honest and tell everyone that the streets were blocked off. We could not get a cab or any form of transportation to the presidential ball. And the women were dressed in ball gowns, and the men had tuxedos on. And, you know, it was an exciting night. We had to walk. I think
yes,
it was seven blocks that we had to walk. My wife has had surgery on her foot, and it was very difficult for her. But wow, despite it, the celebration went forward, and the name of Christ was honored in so many ways.
I agree, Dr. Dobson. Let me say this. My wife, Julie, had heels on that night, and we walked like you all did for many blocks. I didn't think she was too happy with Tim Clinton before we got to the ball. But it was a joyous occasion. It was a fun night, though, Dr. Dobson, and there was a lot happening in Washington, D.C., and the spiritual tone that took place, by the way, because so many people prayed and participated.
Yeah,
I mean, really in earnest, praying that this country would turn back toward God. What a great thing.
Well, Tim, we're approaching the end of the program, and there was one more event that we dare not at least mention, because the inauguration was on Friday, and there was a closing service at the National Cathedral on Saturday morning that it's a shame that the nation was not able to see it. Take a run at it. Try to explain what took place there.
You know, again, just an amazing experience where the name of the Lord was lifted up. It was a multi-faith service. For those of you who were able to catch some of it on television, you'll remember that. But think of the Christian leaders, Dr. Dobson, friends of yours, mine, Pastor Jack Graham, Pastor Ronnie Floyd, Bishop Harry Jackson, Sissy Graham, I think Franklin Graham's daughter. I'm thinking of David Jeremiah and others who all participated in that service, speaking truth into the president and his family and the vice president and his family. And there was a moment in there, Dr. Dobson, that really stopped me. And that was when that young girl sang the song, How Great Thou Art.
Oh, that was a highlight of the entire weekend for me. She was, I think, about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old. I think 9. And she sang How Great Thou Art. And she was blind and disabled. And she stepped up there in front of that big, big church and big crowd. And she absolutely brought the roof down. Yes. As soon as she had finished, the First Lady, Melania Trump, was the one who stood, and the entire congregation stood and cheered. I mean, I wish I had a videotape of that little girl singing with such power.
It was a moment, Dr. Dobson, and I believe that there were tears in her eyes, the First Lady's eyes, at that moment.
Well, we've got 3 minutes left. We really ought to devote those remaining moments to the question of the hour, and that is, what does this mean for the institution of the family? The family has taken some hits. I've wondered at times if it was going to even survive. And if it doesn't survive, the whole country will collapse. Everything sits on that foundation. And the superstructure itself is dependent upon strong families. Where does it go from here? Are you encouraged?
Dr. Dobson, I am encouraged, and we're praying that this administration will be sensitive to and implement an effective strategy that really keeps the faith-based initiative, for example, highly engaged across all the cabinet areas, and specifically addressing everything from religious liberty issues to family health, for example, the fathering initiative and more. You know, some of those initiatives were started back in the Clinton administration and through the Bush administration, and the Obama administration continued many of them. But what we'd love to see is we'd love to see religious entities, churches, more participating fully in some type of way of bringing health and directives and blessing the challenges that the family is seeing right now. You're right. The family's been decimated. We're praying that we could address issues like mental health and deal with substance abuse and addiction and the suicide challenges of our day. Even in the military, think about 22, 23 of our soldiers committing suicide every day in this country. Dr. Dobson, issues of religious persecution, the list goes on. Here's the challenge we have, and that is, I'm going to go back to the Edmund Burke statement, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men, and I'll add, and women, to do nothing, to just sit back and play armchair quarterbacks, to mouth off about issues, and to take shots at people rather than engage the culture, and to take strong positions. It's time. It's time. I believe this. It's time for a new generation, a new people to stand forth and say, not in our house, not in our time. Let's do something significant together. That needs to be our prayer.
You know, only time will tell. But I really do believe that Donald Trump understands the importance of the family. And I do believe that he's going to provide leadership that we need. And I pray that he will, and we need to be praying for him. We're out of time, Tim. I've loved talking to you about this new beginning, if you will. Those were the words that epitomized Ronald Reagan when he first took office. I think it's appropriate, at least in this context, for us to say it again today. It's a new beginning, and one that has at least the possibility of a spiritual foundation to it. And I ask our listeners to be in prayer for our country and be in prayer for us. People are going to be angry at us for what we've had to say in these 2 days. But we love you all, and thank you for listening and for considering our words. And maybe we will have a chance to reconcile our views in days to come. Tim, I love you. You're my brother, and it's fun working with you, especially with all that's going on at this time in our country.
Doc, you keep it exciting. I know that.
You've been listening to Family Talk as Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Tim Clinton share their memories of last month's inauguration and what it may mean for our future. Now, if you missed any part of this two-part broadcast, or if you want to listen again, you can find it on the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. We have also posted transcripts of both Dr. Dobson's prayer for Mike Pence and James Robison's prayer over Donald Trump just a few hours before both of them were sworn in. While you're online with us, would you also please consider how you can help Family Talk stand strong for families? Your donations of any amount help us to continue this work and to bring you the truth that you just won't see or hear in the mainstream media. You can donate online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us with your donation at 877-732-6825. There's someone always there available to talk with you when you call that number. Thanks so much for standing with us, and thank you for joining us today. Be sure to come back again next time for another engaging edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.